This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Pulitzer Prize for Explanatory Journalism was awarded last week to Gareth Cook for his year-long series on embryonic stem cell research. Cook is a science reporter for the Boston Globe. The Pulitzer judges praised him for explaining with clarity and humanity the complex scientific and ethical dimensions of stem cell research. I asked Cook if when he started this series, he thought there were facets of the stem cell story that weren't being adequately covered.
The first story I did that really gave me a sense that something important was happening that we were missing was a story I did about a family deciding what to do with leftover embryos. It was a Catholic couple, and they had frozen embryos from infertility treatment. And they were faced with the decision of whether to discard these embryos or donate them for research at Harvard. And in talking to them, it just became very clear that how they thought of these embryos was very different from how it was being talked about by politicians on both sides.
How are they thinking of the embryos?
Well, when you listen to the political debate, you hear opponents of it talk about these embryos as little babies, and you hear people who support this research dismissing them as just a ball of cells. But for them, these embryos were their children. They had two children from these frozen embryos. So it was sort of ridiculous to think of them as just a ball of cells. But by the same token, they knew that they were not the same as having a child in front of them because it had been so difficult for them to have babies. So that just sort of introduced me to the gray and fascinating middle ground in this debate, which is we don't really have a good word for what these things are, but it's also clear that the way they're being talked about in these sort of caricatures are not accurate.
What did this couple decide to do?
Well, after it was interesting in talking to them, they had to decide whether or not they wanted to have more children because they felt the idea of just throwing these things away was just not acceptable to them because they'd been through fertility treatment, and that is a very difficult experience, and it felt like throwing them away would have been a waste, in a sense, a waste of the effort. So they had to decide whether or not to have children. They decided they really just didn't need more children, so they decided to donate them to Harvard in the end. But it was a difficult decision for them. They're Catholic. They support George Bush. They support his policies. And so they got a lot of pressure, I think, from all sides.
Maybe I should ask you the most basic question of all here, which is, what is a stem cell and why is it so important to researchers?
A stem cell is just a cell in the body that has the ability to do two things. One, it can replicate itself, and two, it can make more specialized cells. If you just think of your skin, for example, your skin is constantly replenishing itself, and that's with stem cells. The reason why scientists are so interested in this is because they want to tap this potential to regenerate tissues that have been damaged by disease. So if we could figure out how to use stem cells to repair the heart or repair the brain, we might be able to cure all kinds of diseases. Recently, it's become controversial because scientists in 1998 discovered a new type of stem cell called an embryonic stem cell. And this is a stem cell which has the ability to become any type of tissue. They can become any type of cell in the body, but at the same time, the only way to get embryonic stem cells is by destroying human embryos. And if you believe that life begins at conception, then this is the equivalent of taking a human life just to do research.
Well, in terms of the embryos that are being used for stem cell research, most of those embryos are coming from in vitro fertilization clinics.
Right. So a lot of these embryos that we're talking about that are used to make human embryonic stem cells would be destroyed anyway. So you have to ask yourself this question. Well, if they're going to be destroyed anyway, then why not use them for research? However, if you think these really are lives, then you have to ask yourself the question, why are we doing in vitro fertilization if the inevitable result is taking lives?
Well, but that's an interesting question that you pose. Do the people who oppose stem cell research oppose in vitro fertilization? Take the U.S. Catholic Conference of Churches. Do they oppose in vitro fertilization?
Well, the Catholic Church does oppose in vitro fertilization. However, a lot of the politicians who oppose this do not oppose in vitro fertilization. And I can't imagine that would be a very popular political position if you just see how many children have been born and how much it means to so many families. So it's interesting because you can sort of, this is exactly the point where you can see the religious and ethical concerns and the political concerns diverging. And you can sort of see people coming up with these positions, which from an ethical standpoint seem somewhat tortured.
Let's look at where we are legally with stem cell research. You know, President Bush made his policy statement in August of 2001, and explain what his decision was.
He was asked to decide what the federal government can spend money on, and this has become a very contentious debate just because there's a debate over whether or not these embryos are human lives. It's been all caught up in the debate over abortion as well. So he was under a lot of pressure on the one hand from people who oppose this type of research, and from the other hand, groups of patients who want to see cures for these diseases. So in August 2001, he announced that basically human embryonic stem cells that had already been made could receive funding. So if you're a scientist and you want to work with human embryonic stem cells, you can do it, as long as those stem cells were created before August 2001. But you can't make new lines of human embryonic stem cells. And at the time, I think it was sort of seen as a fairly reasonable compromise.
Now, what are the scientific limitations of using only stem cell lines from before August 2001?
One of them is that if you're a scientist working in this field, you don't get to derive new lines. And that in and of itself is important because you don't learn the process of doing it. And a lot of science is like gardening. You just have to do it in order to understand how it works. So not being able to derive these new lines is difficult. Another limitation is that the newer lines are in a lot of ways easier to work with because this is a fairly new technology. The first human embryonic stem cell was only discovered in 1998. With every year, scientists get better at making them and they become more easier to use. Scientists who use federal funding then are stuck with lines that aren't as good. Another limitation is that newer lines are being made that allow you to study specific diseases, and those would all be off limits.
Since federal funding can only be used for research on stem cell lines that were developed before the president's policy statement in August of 2001, there's a lot of research that scientists want to do that they can't use federal funding for. So there's a lot of initiatives to try to raise private funding for it. One of the places that has raised some private money is Harvard. And would you describe the institute that has been created at Harvard for stem cell research and what its goals are?
So the Harvard Stem Cell Institute was announced last year, and their goal is to raise private money to do research in a lot of different areas of stem cells. They're not just doing embryonic stem cell research. This project is driven by the conviction that stem cell research is very important, and if the federal government isn't funding it, then Harvard's going to go ahead and raise private money and do it.
Now, you describe this lab as being unmarked and in a location that is being kept secret. Why all the secrecy surrounding the location?
Well, the Harvard Stem Cell Institute is doing a lot of different things. There's one particular lab run by Doug Melton in which they're doing human embryonic stem cell work. The secrecy is because they don't want to be bothered. I think they're afraid that people who oppose this research might disturb them. They aren't that much more specific, but I think that they're concerned that revealing where it is could cause them problems.
In the same way that there are always demonstrators around abortion clinics?
Right, exactly.
So what is this lab focusing on in terms of the research?
Well, Doug Melton's lab is really driven by a desire to cure juvenile diabetes. He has two children with juvenile diabetes, which is a very difficult disease. And so he is basically trying to figure out what causes juvenile diabetes and what might be done to cure it. That said, his lab is involved in a lot of basic areas of research that will be useful to a lot of different people. One of the things he did last year is announce that he'd created a large number of new human embryonic stem cell lines and made them available for free to researchers around the country and around the world. That allows researchers to do all kinds of research. He's been in the news lately, though, because he's interested in doing what's sometimes called research cloning or therapeutic cloning, and that has been a very contentious issue here in Massachusetts and around the country.
What is therapeutic cloning?
Therapeutic cloning is, and I should say, I don't really like the term therapeutic cloning. In therapeutic cloning, what you try to do is create a line of embryonic stem cells that have the exact DNA of a patient. This allows you to study their disease. For example, if you have someone with juvenile diabetes and you want to understand what causes juvenile diabetes and how you might cure it, you can create a line of embryonic stem cells that has the exact DNA of that patient.
So it's called therapeutic or scientific cloning, because it's not reproductive cloning. It's not like the goal is to create a clone of a human being. It's just to clone certain cells for therapeutic use.
Exactly. And that's that's one of the many confusions in this debate, which is when you hear cloning, I think a lot of people think of science fiction. They think of babies in jars and all sorts of wild scenarios. What they're really just trying to do, though, is they're trying to create copies of the cells.
My guest is Gareth Cook of the Boston Globe. Last week, he won the Pulitzer Prize for explanatory journalism. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Gareth Cook is my guest. He's a science reporter for the Boston Globe. And last week, he won a Pulitzer Prize for explanatory journalism for his year-long series of articles on stem cell research. You point out how stem cell research is creating some interesting and unusual opponents. Like, for example, around the Harvard issue, you've got the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation supporting Harvard stem cell research. You've got the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops opposing it. You wouldn't think necessarily that the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation and the Catholic bishops would be at odds over anything, but they are over this issue.
Yes, I think that one of the things that's really driving this whole debate is the hope that stem cell research can cure a wide range of diseases, including juvenile diabetes. And this is why so many advocates for patients have been so involved in this debate. One of the stories I did, actually, is about the dangers of this. I did a story about a kid with muscular dystrophy, and his parents had heard all of the hype about what this research might produce. And I think that when you have the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation and these other advocates pushing for the research, it's a very difficult situation because there's a lot of people out there who, yes, could be helped by this, but also who might hear what they want to hear. And in this case, I did a story about this, about these parents who ended up going to the Ukraine to this clinic, which was offering stem cell therapy, which I don't think is really helping anyone, long before the science is really there. So you have, it's a very difficult debate because right now it's hard to know how many people are actually going to be helped by this. It's just basic scientific research. Scientists think it's very promising, but it's hard to know whether or not it's actually going to turn into medicine.
Yeah, well, you mentioned this stem cell clinic in the Ukraine. You went there and interviewed the lead doctor there. What were your impressions of the clinic?
One of the most striking things that happened to me last year was pulling up to this clinic, and it literally looked like it had been abandoned. It was overgrown, it was rusted out, and I pulled up to this door, and me and my translator got out, and the door sort of opened up, and this gurney came out that looked like it was from the 1950s, and there was this thin white sheet over this dead body as they wheeled it out. It was this gruesome and strange scene. And then you get up to the clinic on the seventh floor, and it's as if you're in a completely different place. It's all shiny and, paintings on the wall and rugs hanging from the walls and flowers everywhere. And talking to this man was a very strange experience because after all the reporting I'd done, it was fairly clear to me that he wasn't helping anyone. At the same time, I left with a very strong impression that he believed in what he was doing. And I have not been able to settle that in my own mind. I can't sort of figure that out, but I guess that's just one of the mysteries of human nature.
So how much money did the couple who you interviewed pay to go to this clinic and bring their son who had muscular dystrophy?
They've paid tens of thousands of dollars. It's really heartbreaking.
And what were the results?
Well, they say he's a little bit better, but not in any sort of dramatic way. You have to understand, though, the situation these parents are in, and I sat with them many times, many afternoons, and sitting there, you realize they are seeing their son literally fall apart in front of them, and when they go to doctors, doctors tell them there's not much they can do for them, and I think, in a way, the worst possible thing is to do nothing, and that's one of the things I was trying to convey in this article, and I have a son, so I think I understand where they're coming from, which is, there's nothing so bad as the feeling as a parent that you can't do anything to help your child. So you'll try anything. And even if you think there's a 99% chance it's going to be of no use, just the mere act of doing something is doing something. And I think that that has helped them a lot.
As we've been talking about, stem cell research is very controversial ethically. And one way around the major controversy being that embryonic stem cells are used, and to some people that is almost the equivalent of abortion. It's ending human life. They see the embryo as human life. One way around it is to use adult stem cells. That's what President Bush supports. That's what the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops support. So what about the science of adult stem cells? Is there any evidence that adult stem cells would accomplish what embryonic stem cells can?
Well, that is a very good question and also a very complicated question. I think that one of the fascinating things that happened in this whole debate is these political questions have twisted the scientific debate. And I think if you were to put aside the political debate and ask any scientist about adult stem cells, they would say, yes, they're very interesting, yes, they're very promising, and yes, they might lead to medicine. However, when you have this political debate over it, I think scientists who support embryonic stem cell research have become a little more reluctant to talk about the promise of adult stem cells because they feel like that is an argument that's being used against them. When you hear people talk about adult stem cells, one thing to keep in mind is that bone marrow transplants are adult stem cells. That's how they work. And every day, here in Boston and in a lot of other cities around the country, people are being saved with adult stem cells. The main difference that you need to understand between adult stem cells and embryonic stem cells is that adult stem cells typically can only become a few types of cells, whereas embryonic stem cells have the ability to turn into virtually any cell in the body. That's why there's been so much scientific excitement about embryonic stem cells.
There's a bioethicist at Stanford, William Hurlbut, who's also on the President's Bioethics Commission, who's proposed research for a type of stem cell research that he thinks would not require the use of new embryos and would therefore solve the ethical objections. It would answer the ethical objections. Would you describe what this proposed research is?
Sure. This is a very interesting proposal, and I think the idea is to try to find a technical solution to the ethical problem. What he's proposing doing is taking the DNA from a skin cell and placing it into an egg and then making genetic modifications so that that egg is incapable of becoming an embryo, yet is still capable of producing embryonic stem cells. Whether or not this would be successful depends on a lot of things. First of all, whether or not opponents of the research can agree on what is and what is not an embryo. You would think scientists might agree on the definition of an embryo, but it's actually not something that everyone agrees on. So that's one thing. The other thing is that technically this could be quite difficult to do. However, it's very interesting, and I devoted a story to it, because it's part of this general quest to perhaps find ways out of the problem that we're in right now. Maybe there are other technical ways of doing this type of research that don't raise these ethical questions.
Are scientists concerned that if a lot of time is spent researching this proposed form of stem cell work, that it will be taking energy away from actually doing more directly therapeutic-related research?
Exactly, Tara. I mean, that's exactly how this is playing out politically, which is that in their public statements, at least, a lot of embryonic stem cell researchers have opposed this and raised a lot of objections to it. They're afraid that basically we're going to see a repeat of what's happened with adult stem cells, which is something which, at least theoretically, has promise being used as an excuse to not pursue the research they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are restrictions on federal funding for stem cell research here, and that has made it difficult for a lot of institutions and scientists to do the research that they'd like to. There are a lot of other countries that don't have those restrictions. What's happening? What's the state of the art in other countries that are doing stem cell research?
Well, one trip I made was to the Czech Republic, and I was with a group of scientists there that are working on embryonic stem cells. They were delighted because Harvard and the other leading U.S. institutions dominate research around the world, and for them, the restrictions are really an opportunity. So what I did in that story is I went to the Czech Republic, and I also did a survey of countries around the world to find how many of them are now pouring into this area of research. And it's really quite stunning. The United Kingdom, Sweden, Israel, all over the world, you see labs pouring into this. You see massive amounts of money going into this area of research just because it is so promising.
There's a lot of people with diseases or people who have loved ones who have diseases that are really hoping that stem cell research is successful and finds ways of reversing diseases that are now incurable. And they perceive the lack of funding as one of the obstacles standing in the way. But how far are we, do you think, from, and I know this is an unanswerable question, but from talking to a lot of scientists, like, what are some of the guesses, like, under the best of circumstances for the researchers, how far do they think they might be from the kind of breakthrough that could lead to cures?
Terry, I'm really glad you brought this up, because this is a question that I think a lot of people misunderstand. This is scientific research, and it's very promising, but nobody knows if or when it's going to lead to actual cures. I think that if you were to talk to scientists in some of these fields, they would say that this is something that could yield amazing things, and yet we just really don't know when it's going to lead to cures. And I often get phone calls from people after my article saying, you know, my aunt has such and such disease, or I have a son with this disease, can stem cell research help? And what I always tell them is, we just don't know. I know it's not a very satisfying answer, but that's what science is all about. It's about going into these areas where we just don't know. And if we knew, then we would already have a cure.
Well, Gareth Cook, congratulations on the Pulitzer, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Terry.
Gareth Cook is a science reporter for the Boston Globe. Last week, he won the Pulitzer Prize for Explanatory Journalism for his series on embryonic stem cell research. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.